Today we're continuing our series in Hebrews, which is Jesus is Greater, and I loved the song that Deland and Greg chose today because everything that they said in that song pointed to Jesus is greater. If you're going through a struggle, if you're going through a hardship, if you're going through a trial, Jesus is greater. He is. And so what a perfect fitting. God orchestrates all of these amazing things to be able to bring him honor and glory. In this series, we've seen that Jesus is greater than the prophets. He's greater than the angels because he is the very presence and person of God. Jesus is the greater rest. Jesus is the greater high priest, the perfect high priest who understands and helps because he knows us perfectly. He knows us intimately. As followers of Jesus, as God's children, he knows us absolutely intimately. Jesus is the greater sacrifice, the perfect and final sacrifice, took away our sin. And not just for a month or for a day or a week or a year, but permanently. It's gone, forever, removed. It's not for a special group of people, but for every person in the entire world. What an awesome God. He is greater. And these are all great truths, right? They're cherished doctrines. They're important knowledge, vital knowledge, in fact. But you've probably heard it before if you've come to church for any amount of time. And maybe it's gotten a bit stale. Maybe you're wondering, how does this make a difference for me now? I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Got it. We can check the box. Right? But what about when things get hard? What about when things get really hard? What about when you just want to put Jesus or your faith aside for a bit? What if you really just want to walk away? What if it seems too high of a cost to follow Jesus? What if he doesn't seem so great compared to all of the other options, the other things that are out there that take away or maybe grab our attention, they grab our desire? What if you're just simply tired? I believe one time or other, all of us have found ourselves in a hard place or a tight space, and most of us will again. Today, we'll see how to endure these hardships, how to endure these struggles and distractions, and see that Jesus is greater in tough places and tight spaces. Jesus is greater in tough places and tight spaces. You might remember that the author of Hebrews was writing to a group of churches that were facing exactly that. They were struggling. They were under persecution. They were facing hardship. Friends were abandoning the faith because, walking away from the church because it was too hard. It was getting too hard. There's been some application along the way as we've been going through Hebrews, and chapter 11 is a hall of fame of sorts, listing believers who persevered in spite of overwhelming doubts and obstacles and persecution. But in chapter 12, the author here of Hebrews is dialed in. He's absolutely focused on the so what. We've looked at all of this stuff, this doctrine, all of these things. Now what? So what if Jesus is greater? Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll just look at verses 1 to 3 this morning. But as you're doing that, I just invite you to bow and pray this morning. Oh, Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we want to quiet our hearts, quiet our minds and our thoughts, and the worries and the concerns that distract us from hearing from you. Pray that we would be able to focus on your word, hear your word as you speak to us through your Holy Spirit this morning. And Father, as you speak, I pray that each one of us, our lives would be transformed. Transform us, Jesus. We want to follow you, we want to honor you, we want to grow in our faith. And so, Father, I pray that this morning we would listen to the call of the Holy Spirit as he prompts, as he convicts, as he encourages us this morning. Oh, Father, we commit this time to you. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to teach us through your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against themselves, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This morning we're going to look at three principles of running this race. What? You're surprised. We're running a race and you didn't even bring your running shoes, did you? Well, I sure didn't either. But what are we talking about, a race? We're talking about the race. The metaphor in this passage, the metaphor is used here of the life of the follower of Jesus being like a race. The original audience would have defined the race probably a little bit differently than what we would define the race to be today. They would have understood the race to mean engaging in an intense struggle. It's a picture of an intense competition, something along the lines of the Olympic Games, and it describes going through strong opposition, both physically and emotionally, as you're getting ready, as you're preparing for this intense battle, this intense race. The original Greek word used for race was agon, and it's not surprising that the word race in its original context actually is where we get our word agony from. You'll get it, right? If you've ever run, you know that race and agony, they go hand in hand. It's perfect. And so that was the original word, is agon. It's kind of meaning agony. And this word emphasizes that for the follower of Jesus, this race is going to be a struggle. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be hardship at times. And as a follower of Jesus, we must understand that the race that we are called to isn't going to be easy. If anybody's told you that this being a follower of Jesus is easy, they were wrong, because we will go through hardship. We will experience conflict. And if you don't understand this truth, then your world is going to be rocked. It's going to be turned upside down, because you will experience hardship. And this, in order for us to understand, better understand it, or better define this race, it's not just a short sprint from here to the end of the church sanctuary, that's what we call it, to the sanctuary. It's like a marathon. It's about endurance. It's about a long race. Are you in for the long haul? And the longer it gets, this marathon, it's incredibly, incredibly challenging. And that's why we are called to endure. And so as followers of Jesus, how do we prepare to run this race that is like a marathon? How do we prepare to do that? Considering that this race at times is going to be hard. It's going to be agonizing. Well, today we want to look at three important principles that Hebrews points out in order to encourage us, to give us the strength and the ability to run the race well, to run the race with endurance, to hang on in light of the hardship. And so first we'll look for inspiration from past heroes of the faith. Secondly, the second principle is to get rid of excess baggage, lay aside, take off every encumbrance. And then thirdly, fix your eyes on Jesus. Focus on the end game. This isn't all there is. There's more than just this. Focus on the end game. So the author of Hebrews, the first thing we need to do, we're going to look at is to take inspiration from the past heroes. So the author of Hebrews starts off chapter 12, verse 1, and he starts looking back. He says, therefore, let's look at the people that we just talked about in chapter 11. looking back to the previous chapter where we have what some would call the heroes of the faith. Ordinary men and women with coming from various backgrounds who struggled, who failed at times, and who sinned. However, God in his grace restored them to fellowship through the greater priest, the greater high priest, the greater sacrifice. And these heroes of the faith bear testimony that the race can be run successfully, even when it would seem that God is not being faithful. Even when promises, if you look through through chapter 11, some of them were had been given promises by God, but they didn't see them fulfilled in their lifetime. Those promises were fulfilled after they passed on. But they kept their faith. They kept believing in Jesus. And the reward, because they weren't fixed and fixated on the present. They were looking to the future reward. What was the reward and what did they gain? Not only in the future, but in the now, in the today, they gained a restored relationship with God himself. They were walking in fellowship with God. And then future, looking into the future, they would spend an eternity with God. The reward was great. They persevered, and so the reward was great. And so we need to consider those who have been faithful in the past in our race. Look back, draw inspiration from. I mean, we often look to others for our inspiration in various situations. If you walk into a stadium, you will see in a stadium, maybe there's some jerseys hanging from rafters with a number and a name on it. And it's honoring a player that has contributed to the team, has contributed to the game, whatever it is. Or maybe you walk through the hallways of the stadium into the locker rooms and you will see various pictures of the teams lifting up a championship cup. And they're smiling because of what they've gone through to gain that victory. Or maybe you've read it in a book and you've seen heroes in a book and you look to those people who have done great things and you want to be like them. You strive to achieve what they've achieved. Try to achieve what they've done in their lives. And so you focus on them. But the most important example, and these can be good examples, but the most important example of all is Jesus. Consider him. Had a hard day? Consider Jesus. Facing some opposition? Look at Jesus. Dealing with some losses? Look at Jesus. Feeling all alone? Feeling abandoned? Look to Jesus. Consider Jesus. Man, Jesus experienced hardship. He experienced hard days. Almost everywhere he went, he experienced hardship. He experienced loss. He experienced being all alone. He experienced being abandoned. Even his own family members thought he was a lunatic at one point. Everywhere he went, he faced opposition. And yet, he was obedient and faithful to his Father. He never lost sight of the end game. He never lost sight of his purpose, of his mission. He continued to look forward. He didn't get bogged down in the now and the distractions of what he was going through at the moment, but he looked to the future. Consider that Jesus empathizes with us in our struggle because he experienced what we have and yet is without sin. He's gone through what we have and yet without sin. Look to Jesus. He is the greater hero. Jesus is greater in tough places and tight spaces. Draw inspiration from those followers of Jesus and ultimately look to Jesus. But I believe that we can only fully appreciate that Jesus is greater in tough places and tight spaces when we recognize that we are carrying some baggage, some excess baggage that we need to dump, that we need to unload because it's distracting us. It's causing us to stumble and fall in this race that we're running. And that's the second point. Get rid of excess baggage. Lay aside, take off absolutely every encumbrance. What's an encumbrance? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But for the athlete, what this would have meant, so going back into history, what this would have meant for the athlete is you take off, you strip off everything that is going to cause you to slow down. It's anything that's going to cause unnecessary wind resistance, anything that's going to hinder you in any way, shape, or form, you're going to take it off. In fact, there was a point in period where they would run naked. I think that's a distraction too, but we won't talk about that today. Distracted me. But what they're doing is they're taking everything off. They don't want any distractions. You know how they used to. I don't know if they still do. I don't know anything about horses really, other than I'm scared of them because they bucked me off. But they used to put blinders on them so that they would focus on the end game. They wouldn't focus or be distracted on anything that's beside them. They wouldn't look at or see anything that's coming beside them. So take everything off that's going to slow you down in your race. The athletes would have known that. And as followers of Jesus, what does it mean for us to lay aside, take off every encumbrance? Well, first of all, encumbrance isn't referring to sin. Sin is also, now don't miss this part, sin is also referred, but to in this passage as well, in the second part of this verse, but first and foremost, it says, take off every encumbrance. An encumbrance is anything that will distract you or that is distracting you from running the race. And so in the case of the Jews who had believed, some of the encumbrances that they were carrying would have included old friends from their past life, pre-salvation, pre-trusting in God. These friendships, these relationships were dragging them down. They weren't building them up. They were slowing them down in their race. They were slowed down by some of the traditions, religious traditions. They were slowed down by some of the legalism that was still lingering. And so for us, what is an encumbrance to us, to me? What is slowing us down in the race? And two, I believe that friendships pre-salvation can often slow us down, can often take our attention, our focus off of our race. Traditions, legalism, we struggle with the same things that the Jewish people did as well. Or maybe it might be the tendency to compromise through buying into a worldview of individualism and entitlement. Believing we can have everything the world has to offer and Jesus, that's an encumbrance. Because you cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6:24 says, you will be devoted to one and what? Despise the other. Maybe it's a lack of faith in Jesus that's slowing you down. That's an encumbrance. And so as a follower of Jesus, to run the race well, every weight, everything that is slowing you down without exception must be removed. It's got to be stripped away. We got to get rid of it. Athletes training for races are so incredibly focused on the race, on the competition at hand, at doing well, that everything that they do, they eat, sleep, breathe, and everything they do is so focused, so concentrated on the race, on doing well in the race. They do everything that they can leading up to the race to be able to race well. They're prepared, they're equipped to do this well. Every single decision that they make is weighed with the question, how will this affect my performance in the race? How will eating this affect my performance in the race? How will sleeping in every single day affect my performance in the race? How will eating whatever I want affect my performance in the race? How will never training affect my performance in the race? Do you and I weigh every decision that we make with this question: how will this decision affect my relationship with Jesus, and how will it impact my testimony for him? How will this decision affect my relationship with Jesus, and how it will impact my testimony for him? What decisions impact how you run your race? Maybe it's who I date. Maybe it's how I date, or if I date at all. How will dating this person affect my performance in the race? How will dating someone affect my relationship with Jesus? How will debt affect my relationship with the ability to run the race well? How will living for my own rights, myself, me, affect how I run the race for Jesus? How will where I work, how hard I work, where I vacation, how I vacation, where I hunt fish, how I hunt fish, how will it affect the way that I serve Jesus? How will it affect the way that I am running my race for Jesus? Will it slow me down? Is it going to be a hindrance? Or will it build up my race, my chances of doing well, my ability to do well in a race? If we have faith in, believe in, trust in Jesus, you and I will weigh every single decision and every attitude and every question without question. We will weigh it, every decision, with the question: how will this attitude affect my relationship with Jesus, and how will it affect my testimony for him? We're in a race. We're in a race, one that has eternal consequences impacting us right now, right here, and for all of eternity. Most of us can't comprehend what that means. It's a long time. So what is the baggage? What's the encumbrance, the thing that you need to throw off in order to be able to run the race well? What is it? Consider today. What is the thing you need to get rid of? What is the thing that you need to throw off? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it an attitude towards something? Is it just a distraction by something, shiny things in the world? You know, you take kids into a store. I remember taking our kids into a store, and anytime they saw kids, boom, boom, like their mind is there. There's a one-track thing. They're not focusing on anything else. Okay, don't get lost. Don't go anywhere. No, it's just Lego, Lego, Lego. That's on my mind. They're focused. They get attracted by shiny things. Are we getting distracted by shiny things? What's the baggage that we need to throw off? But not only do we have all of these distractions that we need to lay aside, we also do need to deal with the sin that entangles us. Stop sinning. Very simple. Stop sinning. Stop living in sin. Stop. When God convicts you of sin, when you know that you're living in sin, stop. You want to run the race well? Stop sinning. Get rid of the baggage. Stop sinning. Get rid of it. Throw it off. Absolutely everything that's distracting you from the race of being a follower of Jesus, all of the sin that interrupts our fellowship with Jesus, throw it off. Get rid of it. Athletes, in fact, there's another aspect that we want to look at as well. Athletes actually will lose a race because they become so distracted in a race because they're comparing themselves to somebody else. They're looking, you know, with a split-second decision to they're in the lead. With a split-second decision to look behind them, athletes have actually lost the race because they're looking to see, they're comparing themselves, where am I in the race? Don't be distracted by where others are at in the race. Focus on your race. Don't compare yourself with others' race. That's not our job. That's not our responsibility. Focus on your race. Don't become distracted. Throwing off distractions allows the follower of Jesus to focus on what's important: the end game. So often we focus on the here and now, the right now. We want immediate satisfaction, gratification. Let's look at the big picture. Let's look at the big picture. Let's focus on the end game. For the follower of Jesus running the race successfully is to look at Jesus, the author, perfecter of faith, without being weighed down from unnecessary baggage and distractions. It brings us to our third principle. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Focus on the end game. Jesus is the source of faith, in that by his death and resurrection, he became the source of eternal salvation. And he, the greater model of faith, is that he trusted God, as evidenced by his total obedience to the Father in the work of atonement. Not once did the hardship and the distractions take away from the big picture. This is not all there is. Jesus focused on the end game. He looked past the immediate suffering. He looked past the cross. He looked past the incredible cost. It cost him his life. It cost him dearly. He looked past all of those things to a future of redemptive blessing for all humanity. And so that's why he endured. He looked past all of those things. And that's why he endured the suffering, the cross, because he was fixated on his Father. He was fixated on pleasing his Heavenly Father, walking in obedience to his Heavenly Father, living for his Heavenly Father, staying on mission for the Heavenly Father, to his Heavenly Father, even in light of hardship. And so we too need to be focused on the end game. Draw from Jesus' example. Look to the inspiration of the heroes in the past. They drew on and then draw on Jesus ultimately, because he is the greater testimony. He is the greater example. Verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The definition of fixated is obsessed, irrational, unreasonable, eccentric, odd, strange. That's what it means to be fixated on Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The Bible calls us to be fixated on Jesus, not our hair, not our balding hair. Good thing I'm not fixated on that. I fix on Jesus, because maybe, I don't know what our bodies will look like post when I go see Jesus, but I don't have to worry about that bald spot anymore. I'm like, don't focus on your hair. Don't focus on your car. I need a new car. This is substandard. Don't focus on your work. Don't focus on your material possessions. Don't focus on sports. The Bible calls us to be obsessed with Jesus, not with friends who we're dating, social media, sports, or hobbies. Be obsessed with Jesus. But as soon as we focus on Jesus, we get fixated on Jesus. Even people in the church say, that's ridiculous. You don't need to be that obsessed with, because there's so many things that we're distracted with in this world. But Jesus is saying, in this passage, the author is saying, in order to run the race well, in order to endure all of this garbage that we go through, the hardship of living in a fallen world, fix your eyes on Jesus. Be fixated on him. All of those distractions will fall by the wayside. Fixing is in the present tense, meaning it's now and continuing future. Fixing on, not just at salvation. Trusted Jesus for salvation, but continue to look to Jesus each and every hour of every day for all of life. To be fixed or obsessed with Jesus is to say that in him and in him only, I have meaning and purpose. How often do we look? We're so distracted because we want to find meaning and purpose in the world. We want to find meaning and purpose in the things of this world. Often we do this maybe even without thinking. We look at somebody and we say, well, you know, the guy with a big boat, or the guy with the big maybe hairdo, maybe mullet, maybe that's the guy I look to. I don't know. But what is it that's distracting us? We're looking to be because we want to find our self-worth. We want to find meaning and purpose. Those things don't give meaning and purpose. Oh, they may for a short time, but they too will fade, and you will still be going through the garbage, the hardship of each and every day. So don't find, you won't find, in fact, you won't find meaning and purpose in objects. You will find meaning and purpose in Jesus when you fix your eyes on him. So to fix your eyes on Jesus is to surrender and to walk in complete obedience to the Heavenly Father as Jesus modeled. Be obsessed with, be irrationally fixated on Jesus. And we do this by honoring him in everything we do, in every decision we make. We seek his counsel. We seek his wisdom. Unlike the heroes and heroines of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11, Jesus, and this is why we fix our eyes on Jesus, Jesus is able to strengthen his followers to endure because he is the one sitting at the right hand of the throne of God and awaits our cry for help. He is waiting there. He has experienced what we've gone through, and he's waiting there for us to intercede on our behalf. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is greater in tough places and tight spaces. Jesus is greater in tough places and tight spaces. Maybe you found yourself in a tough place or a tight space, and you're tired, you're ready to give up. Maybe you become distracted and are focused more on the hardships and the challenges or on the shiny things that this world has to offer. You're struggling in your race. The author of Hebrews is telling us because these people, the people that the book of Hebrews was written for, were struggling in hardship, in conflict of what they were going through. And in it, we're told to look at the heroes of the faith that have gone before us. Ultimately, look to Jesus. Throw off the baggage that's slowing you down. Get rid of it. Stop living in sin. Ever wonder why you're so frustrated because you can't run the race well? Oh my goodness, I struggled with this for so many years when I was younger. I was wondering why I wasn't running the race well. Because I was living in sin, not dealing with the sin in my life, not throwing off the encumbrances, the things of the world that were slowing me down. I should have brought it today. I thought about it yesterday at some point, but I didn't. I have this skill saw at home, and it bears the marks of one of the struggles I was going through. And I think I've told this, I don't know if I've told the whole story, but after I was finished youth ministry, I was very tired and just needed a break. And so I retired from youth ministry, and it seemed like after that, everything in our life went downhill. I'll say that for the nice way, nice version. It just felt like everything was turning to garbage. I was so angry, and I would have conversations with God, and God, I did this for this many years. And now you're just raining garbage on my life. One day I was cutting down trees, because everybody cuts trees with a skill saw, correct? Steve, that's what you used to, yeah, Steve probably uses other saw. That's all I had. I needed to cut down some trees, and I cut the cord. And that just made me so angry. And I took that skill saw, and I lobbed it across the yard. And today, it still bears the scars. When I see my skill saw, I look at a point in time where I was angry. But you know what I was doing? I was fixating on the things of this earth, that I should have material blessing, that I should have the ability to rest, that nothing is going to go hard. But you know what? That's not what it teaches in the Bible. It teaches in the Bible that we will go through hardship. We will go through struggle. We will go through challenges. And in fact, they're there for a very purpose. Oh, better not get ahead of myself. We'll talk about the very purpose of what they're there for next week. They will develop character in us. But if all we're fixated on is the troubles of this world, in my little world, if we never take our heads up off of all of the struggles that we're going through in that particular moment, we'll be so distracted, we'll never see and we'll miss out on the blessings that God has for us when we walk in relationship and fellowship with Him. Jesus is greater than all your disappointments and failures. And do you know what? In the midst of that, and I've shared this part of this story for sure before, in the midst of all of those challenges that I was going through, and it's just like, God, what is going on in my life? Like one bad thing after the other after the other. And Pat and I, we were driving in Saskatoon down Wanuskewin Road and passed, at that time, it was called the Living Hope Church. And there was this billboard, and it says, Jesus loves you, Gary. I've shared that before. And it's like, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Jesus loves you, Gary. And it spoke to me so loudly because who puts Gary on a billboard? Who does? I don't see Gary's name anywhere on things. I see Jesus loves me. Jesus loves Dan, Stan, I don't know. But to see Jesus loves Gary spelt with two R's, that moment was, for me, I believed, whatever God did, but that moment was for me to fix my eyes back on Jesus, get rid of the distractions. I'm here. I am here. I have not gone away. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is greater than all your disappointments, all your fears, all your failures. Jesus is greater because what you and I couldn't do for ourselves, Christ did. He did it for us. That relationship with God Himself is restored. What Christ did through salvation for you and I was for the very purpose of giving us hope as we look at the big picture, keeping the end in sight. Keeping the end in sight. What is the bigger picture? I am now in relationship with Jesus. It's not future. It's now. Jesus is greater now. In the hardship, in the struggle, Jesus is greater now. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look past all the distraction, all the hardship and the pain, and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So I'm going to leave you with a couple of questions, and I want you to consider them. I'm asking you to consider these questions. Don't go away from here just nodding and, yeah, I should throw that. I want you to consider the questions. What is it that I need to throw off? What is slowing me down? What is slowing me down in my race as a follower of Jesus? What is distracting me as a follower of Jesus? What is the encumbrance that I have to throw off? I know there are struggles and challenges in this world, but Church, that's what we as the church are here for. I asked somebody pre-service how they were doing because of a struggle they were going through. Sorry, I won't mention your name, but I will tell the story. I love you dearly. But you know what? They decided that in spite of the hardship, they were going to fix their eyes on Jesus. They were going to sit down and they were going to get in front of Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus in light of the hardship. And you know what? Beyond that, it changed their attitude. It changed their view because they weren't focusing on the thing that was distracting them in the midst of their journey, in the midst of their race. Jesus is greater in tough places and tight spaces. Do you know that? Take that home with you today. Jesus is greater in tough places and tight spaces. Can you throw it up there? Sorry to put you on the spot. Say it with me. Jesus is greater in tough places and tight spaces. Say it with me again. Jesus is greater in tough places and tight spaces. I hope that will help you to remember and bring back some of the things that Jesus is greater. Look at the past heroes of the faith who lived and did well in spite of going through hardship. Look at Jesus who has gone through what we've gone through. And throw off everything, the baggage. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And in verse 3, Let me close with this. For consider him who has endured such hostility for sinners against himself, so that you will. This is for us. So that you and I will not grow weary and lose heart. That's the purpose he's telling us. The author is telling, first of all, the people that he was writing to, but this is for us as well. Because he knows very well that we too will grow weary and lose heart. But these are some key principles to endure and to run the race well. Let's pray. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus, and he was the ultimate example how to run our race well. Oh, Father, I pray today for those out there who are struggling in their race. I don't know the baggage. I don't know the encumbrance that they need to throw off. You do. They do. So, Father, I pray that today they would throw off that encumbrance, that they would stop living in that sin, that, Lord, and if there's sin, that's unconfessed sin in my life, then, Lord, would you convict me of that sin? Would you convict us of the sin in our life that we haven't dealt with so that we can dealt with it to run our race well? God, may we run the race well. May our race be a testimony of the gospel to others around us. May we be fixed on Jesus. May Jesus be our only obsession, our only priority in our lives. Oh, Father, we know that you give us the strength and the energy and the ability to walk through the hardship, the crisis, the struggle. Thank you that you are with us, that you have not left us alone to go through these on our own. Oh, Father, we commit this to you. We thank you for it. Pray that you will teach us and transform our lives. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, looking forward to next week as we finish up. Jesus is greater even in discipline. Ha, like that one? I don't. It's challenging. See you next week.